Well, grace and peace to you in the name of God who is always present, God who is with us, holy and mighty. Amen. It's good to be back home. I spent both Christmas and New Year's with my family in Michigan. And I will say it was a little extra special because this is the first time we could simply enjoy being together during the holidays in over 10 years. Usually because when I've been serving in congregations, I've had to work at Christmas. And even when I wasn't, I happened to be a chaplain in a hospital setting and volunteered for the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day times because holiday pay, yay. I mean, that was part of it. But actually, it was really meaningful to be present in people's lives in that very hard place to be during the holiday. I remember my first year, I think it was like 11:30 at night, and I got a page that somebody just wanted to sing Silent Night together. How cool. Anyway, it was really lovely just hanging out, just being together. And yet, when I got home to my parents' house, I found myself overwhelmed with nostalgia. I mean, the last time I'd even been in that house was maybe 2018, 2019. Everything still felt so comfortable and familiar in ways I really hadn't anticipated. And honestly, those first couple days were very emotional for me. Even pulling a plastic Tupperware cup out of the cupboard got me choked up. I'm not even kidding. It was almost like I had returned from a period of exile. Thanks, COVID. We'll blame COVID. And in some ways, I kind of feel that that's not unlike the context of our first reading in Isaiah 60. For in that context, the entire Jewish community is returning home after they had been exiled to Babylon. And they were now having to readjust and remember who they are in the wake of their reunion together. Now, exile is pretty bleak, at least in their circumstance, mine not so much, but theirs, very bleak. And I can imagine it felt hopeless and powerless, kind of like being in a desert and you aren't sure you're gonna have access to water. And so now, as they are returning together, even with reunions of families and communities, there's still a lot that needs to be restored. There's still a lot of healing that needs to happen. And it's not just within the families, both biological and chosen, that people are rediscovering that there is complexity in this kind of rebirth together. In fact, fun fact, that whole text, that Isaiah text, where it says you, it's not addressed to a person or a community, it's actually addressed to the whole city. The city of Zion, the city of Jerusalem. Even more fun fact, it's feminine. Because Hebrew uses gendered language, and so it is second person feminine, which I'm not gonna explain more because I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I saw it in a lot of commentaries and I had to share it with you. So, she, daughter Jerusalem, daughter Zion. In their coming together, more is being rebuilt than just relationships, too. The temple is about to be restored and rebuilt. Important places in the community are being brought together again. And now a new generation of people are going to be learning what it means to be free, what it means to be freed from captivity. And so now whole identities are being restored, too. Arise, daughter Zion. Your freedom has come. The glory of God, the promise God makes to you to be with you always, is renewed and reimagined. And the call is to daughter Zion to arise and be restored in hope. Isn't that what many of us are seeking in some way, shape, or form? I think most of us are often seeking that promise and that assurance that God's presence is, in fact, with us always. The promise of God's love and this assurance that we, too, are known and seen and loved for who we are. I think that's why we honor this experience today of Epiphany, which it technically was yesterday, the 6th. The real manifestation of the divine as we have experienced in the Christ child. This is kind of a second or little Christmas, as I've seen little snippets that there are communities that celebrate little Christmas. Because we're hearing again the story of Christ's birth. On December 24th, we heard one narrative of Jesus' birth from the Gospel according to Luke. Honestly, that's usually the one we hear on the 24th because it's just a better literary narrative. It has compelling characters and poetic language. It's a bit longer. It's great. And in that story, God's presence in baby form is announced by angelic hosts to a community of shepherds, ordinary people in ordinary places who heard and followed, and then they saw, and on their way home, they told about what they saw. Today, we hear a different narrative of Jesus' birth from the Gospel according to Matthew. This one is short, succinct, and God's presence in baby form is announced through the careful study of stars and the sky to a group of wise people who were interpreting nature around them and saw irrefutable evidence to them that the promise of God with us had come true. And these sages understood, and they followed. They saw the star, they saw this child, and they went another way home. And we don't know if they became disciples in that and told others what they saw and what they thought it really meant. We know the shepherds did. We don't know about these wise people. But I think what we can trust is that their witness tells us the power of God's presence and love. That we can all know and all feel, and it isn't hidden away for someone else to interpret on our behalf. God's presence moves beyond halls of knowledge, beyond pages with print and writing, even beyond mystery of prophecy and hope of promise. And that's a bit of what we celebrate every week when we feast at this table together in worship. This sacrament of food and drink, which is a means of grace made very tangible for us. We can hold the promise of the divine made manifest in our ordinary lives. We can hold it in our hands. We can taste it on our tongues. We celebrate it too in the waters of baptism, another means of grace made tangible for us, the promise of the divine made manifest on our foreheads and in our hearts, surrounding us always. And that means that God is in fact always present within us and around us, even when we don't notice it, even when we don't always feel it, even when we doubt it, maybe have days that we despise it, God's presence and love never lets go of us. We are always loved, always known, always celebrated as the children of God who rejoices over all of us and never demands perfection. Thank goodness. I was reminded of this also while in Michigan these last couple weeks. I decided I wanted to look through photos of my early childhood, and I will say I was kind of cute until I hit like 3. I think. But I found my baby book, and in it were some random news clippings thrown in, including like the announcement of my birth in the local paper. Except, my name was spelled wrong. Mr. and Mrs. William Rice announced the birth of their daughter, Kristan Charlotte, with an A. Kristen with an A. I've never seen that. So my first mention in the world isn't even the right one. But that didn't stop my parents from loving me fiercely. And then a year and a day later, I was baptized and assured forever that God knows me and loves me and celebrates me. God never spells my name wrong. Every version of me that has existed for the last 40 plus years, when I'm feeling exiled or bleak or whole and at home, I am assured that God knows me and loves me. My baptismal certificate is spelled correctly. I checked. I mean, it's still a thing. Clearly, I have feelings about this. We're not going to get into it. But my hope for you is that you heed the wisdom of these magnificent wise ones who sought the wisdom of the divine in the world all around them, the one who does not notice our mistakes. My hope is that you heed the wisdom of the scholars who brought wisdom of the divine in the stories that were told and written about generations before them. My hope is that you look for the presence of God in you and around you and through you in ways that are perfectly ordinary and beautifully extraordinary. And in that hope, I want to share with you a practice that I have no idea if you guys have done, but have you guys done Star Words before? No? Star Words, not Star Wars, Star Words. Cool, okay, so this is something that's kind of come to vogue in the recent years, is practice of Star Words while celebrating Epiphany, since the star is a central figure. In these little baskets, which I should have pulled apart beforehand, I have many different stars of shapes, and well, they're all stars, but all different sizes, and all of them have different words. I don't think I duplicated, but doesn't matter. You are going to be invited on your way back from communion. I'm going to put these on the ends of the pews up front. You are invited to take one on your way back, and I encourage you to just grab one. Don't rifle through. Don't try to pick one. Trust the one that you grab is the one for you. And then when you get home, place it somewhere that you might see it frequently. And so throughout this year, as you look at it, you can pray, you can reflect on this word's significance, and maybe even let it guide your journey forward. But above all, I hope that whatever your word is, that it is a reminder for you to keep seeking the love and promise and hope in God's love, made incarnate in the Christ child, wherever and however the journey ahead of us goes. Amen.